This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Cone and Kruger. That's Larry Kruger. I'm Grant Cone. Draft is over. Title of my stream, I don't know what Larry called his stream. Title of my stream is, are the Niners still the best team in the NFC? We sort of take that for granted, but other teams have made a lot of moves. So I want to evaluate the off seasons in the big picture. Start with the Niners draft. Larry, give me a grade for the draft. How do you feel about it?
I think it was a solid B. I saw Kiper gave it a B minus, and I think that's fair. I would say it's a B. I kind of liked a lot of the day three picks. I really like Malik Mustafa. Really like Jacob Cowing. The only pick that I really was like, what? That's a head scratcher, is the USC offensive lineman Kingston. I didn't understand why they did that. It was almost like, I feel like they made one mistake, but it burned them twice. They made a mistake in that they reached for Pearsall early instead of going with an offensive lineman. You could have had Zach Frazier. You could have had, the Oregon center. And then because they reached for the receiver early, then they felt the need to, like, go offensive line, late. And I thought the Kingston draft pick was like, what? I'm not getting that. I mean, short arm, 6-year college player, solid technician, but nothing more. Is he a guard? No. Is he a tackle? No. So he's probably at the pro level a center. And so I don't know.
Center in college.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he did have 36 reps on the bench. He is pretty fast and this and that. Maybe he'll wind up being a great offensive lineman and make my evaluation look bad. But to me, it seemed like, what are you doing there? Well, it's like you had to go offensive line again late because you didn't go offensive line when you should have gone offensive line early. And then after they wound up with Cowing, now they didn't know they were going to get Cowing, but after they wound up with Cowing, it's like, okay, so you got your fast, productive, really exciting, fast slot receiver to go with Jennings. Well, then what's Pearsall there for? Isn't Pearsall kind of the slot guy that's going to share? So now you got three slot receivers. I mean, you're loaded at receiver. I guess maybe this was made with the future in mind. But to me, you just look really, really stacked at receiver and still relatively the same on the offensive line. And McKivitz got burned for 9 sacks last year and struggled in the run game. And Brendel got worked by DJ Reader. So I don't know. I think they needed to be a little bit more serious about their offensive line issues.
Yeah, I agree. You could say whatever you want to say. I think people could be as enthusiastic as they want about specific players. None of us really know how these guys are going to turn out down the line. It just seems to me that the Niners didn't really make an effort to make their team better now. And I think they would say, well, we can't make our team better now in the draft. Our team is so good. You can't expect rookies to come in and make an impact on our team. But they're like the only team that feels that way. Other contenders, I thought, made moves that made them better, like the Chiefs. The one team that's definitely better than the Niners added a wide receiver who's going to start for them. And then in round two, took an offensive tackle that the Niners could have had. And they didn't want him. And the Chiefs are like, we want him. That's one pick I do not understand. Why did the Niners not want Sua Mataia?
Well, I'll say this. I thought he was a poor run blocker. To me, he looked like a really good pass protector, kind of almost advanced, but really not great as a run blocker. So, I mean, they're a run-first scheme. All I'll say about this on the Niners, too, is I don't know that they weren't thinking about this year because, to me, Pearsall is definitely – the advantage of Ricky Pearsall over Xavier Leggett or some of these other receivers is that Pearsall is ready to go right now and won't take, a lot of rookie receivers take a year and a half or 2 years to kind of ramp up. I think Pearsall better be good this year or that's a major negative. I mean, to me, that's part of why they took him, is that they feel like he can contribute this year. So if he doesn't contribute this year, then I'm really negative on the Pearsall pick.
But they still have Ayuk, they still have Debo, they still have Kittle, they still have McCaffrey,
Jennings.
Even if somehow Pearsall takes Jennings' spot in the pecking order, which I'm highly skeptical of, what is that? 20 catches? 19? They don't need to be giving a fifth receiver lots of targets. Like, they have to get the ball into Kittle's hands more. They have to get the ball into Ayuk's hands more. If they're actually going to extend Ayuk, they need to get him more targets. I just don't see. It seems like his biggest impact would be as a punt returner.
Well, and how many times are you going to get your ass handed to you up front by Chris Jones before you say, maybe Brendel's not the guy? You know, Brendel was a nice little story. Street free agent, smart guy. I like him. He's a good guy to talk to. I think he's really bright, but he's about 285. You could have had Zach Frazier, who's like 310 and just destroying people. And you could have had Jackson Powers Johnson, who's like 320. And had a real force on your front. But you know what? They don't see the offensive line the same as everybody else. They believe so much in Chris Forster. And so I get the feeling that Forster loves Brendel and loves some of these technician guys and is like, hey, we're pretty good. So I don't know, because to me, everybody right of Banks needs to be either replaced or at least, you know, have to compete really, really hard for their position. And I like Pooney. He's physical and he's versatile and he's tough. But I would have liked to have seen one more guy kind of in that ilk.
I gave this draft a C because I felt that they got the first pick wrong and they didn't make their team better now. Maybe it'll make their team better in 2025. It seems like a lot of these guys will have opportunities to start next year. But the first pick, taking a wide receiver, it's not like they got Brandon Ayuk. They got a guy who's good, but is he that much better than guys taken in rounds 2 and 3 and 4? I'm not sure about that. The wide receiver class was so deep, but it's hard to find good corners in round 3. So I would have preferred them to take a corner in round 1. There were 4 that went back to back to back to back at the beginning of round 2. Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Kamari Lassiter, and Max Melton. Like, any of those four would have been a better pick.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know,
Max Melton runs a 4.37. He's a 5.11. Yeah. That would have been nice.
And he's super tough. Cooper DeJean. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen Cooper DeJean, to be honest. Or
that was my pick the whole time.
Yeah. Either one of those guys would have been fine with me. I thought there were better guys on the board. It's funny, Kuiper felt like their biggest reach was Renardo Green. I actually like Renardo Green. I think that, you know, the draft people had him marked down too low. They had him in the 4th or 5th round. I thought he was more like a 3rd round pick. He went in the late 2nd. I don't have nearly as big a problem with the Renardo Green pick because I like him as a press man corner. He's got safety experience. He can play off coverage. I like Renardo Green. So, but that was what Kuiper gave him a B-, and he said they reached for Pearsall and they should have gone offensive tackle, and that they reached by 2 rounds for Renardo Green. I thought that was maybe a little, you know, these are all opinions, right? But I liked Renardo Green. And to me, Grant, when they lost Emmanuel Mosley and Jimmy Ward, they lost not just good football players, but they lost like alphas in their secondary. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with Mustafa and Green, they at least got 2 guys who kind of are in that alpha mode. So I think their secondary probably got the most improvement in this draft right away, I think, comes in that secondary with those 2 guys.
Okay, so we both agree on round 1. I would have went with a DB. You would have went with an offensive lineman.
Or in DB. Round 2, I'm fine with Max Melton or DeJean, too. That would have been fine.
Okay, so in round 2, and I think my thing is the Suamataya pick. So they don't, clearly they felt he didn't fit their run scheme. But the Chiefs felt he did fit. So why did he not fit? Well, they're looking for a right tackle, and they run a lot of outside zone. They're more committed to outside zone than most teams. But that outside zone to the right side, it's like you don't run to the right anyway. You run behind Trent Williams all the time anyway. Wouldn't it be nice to have a right tackle who's good in pass protection? Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, it's great. Colt McKivitz fits this game. He fits it, and he gives up.
they really do like Colton McKivitz. Now, I like Colton McKivitz as a guy, but they really love Colton McKivitz as a player. You know, they signed him. They didn't give him a 1-year deal. They gave him multiple years, right?
Why?
And they're clearly big fans. I mean, they had the group, and they've been consistent. They've had the, you know, they had the gold helmet designation on him in the draft. They waived him.
I don't get it though. They never run behind him, and they help him out in pass protection all the time. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, a championship team has Colton McKivitz as like the sixth offensive lineman. The guy who can play all five spots and is, mm-hmm. and you don't have to worry about him, and he's not going to wet his pants, and he's pretty poised, and he's pretty tough. That's, to me, the greatness of McKivitz. I thought for sure they would get a big, physical, you know, plug-and-play, 5-year, 6-year starter at right tackle in this draft, and it didn't happen. So
at least with McGlinchey, when he was young, they could run behind him, and they'd get big plays to the right behind McGlinchey in the run game, and they would live with his pass protection. But with McKivitz, they don't even get that.
I know. And yet, I would say I don't think McKivitz is the weakest link. I kind of think Brendel and Burford and Feliciano were weaker. So I'm okay with Pooney, but I just wanted to tackle as well as Pooney.
Yeah. Do you think Pooney can play tackle? I don't.
He in college, but I don't think he's a pro tackle. I think he's a pro guard. I think he could be a really good pro guard, maybe even a starting pro guard, maybe even a starting pro guard of note, but he's not a tackle.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And here's my issue, too, with the Niners, how they draft offensive linemen. They always take some guy who played one position and then say he's going to play another position on our team. Why? They always think some left tackle. He's going to play right guard for us. Man, good luck. Didn't work for Burford.
It's a big projection. It's a big projection. And how many guys can switch successfully? Some can, but most can't. So, I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, they drafted Burford. He was a right tackle at University of Texas San Antonio. And left tackle. Now they're playing him at right guard. Is it possible that they see Burford as a tackle? I mean, we didn't get a chance to, or at least I didn't get a chance. Did they make Forster available at all?
No, we'll get him in training camp. I just don't know what they're doing on their offensive line. I'm confused. I'm just flabbergasted.
Where's the urgency? I mean, where's the urgency for the tackle? I mean,
they've drafted
like
4 in 8 years, Larry. Four, and none of them were particularly good.
And when John was asked about it, he starts singing the praises of Jalen Moore, who's been a fifth round pick, who's been there for a while. I like Jalen Moore as a guy. He's a solid guy, and I know he can play both spots, but is he really starting caliber at either spot? I don't know. I mean,
if Trent Williams went down in training camp, you're telling me they'd be like, oh yeah, we're really excited about Jalen Moore? No, you're not. You would trade for someone immediately.
Right. Is there even a free agent tackle? I mean, I haven't even looked at the free agent list. I can't imagine. There were no good ones in probably March. Not. I can't believe there would be somebody available now.
Whitworth, how old is he? 43?
Yeah.
Staley, was he 40?
Called Joe Staley.
He's probably 240 pounds right now.
Okay. I saw Bubba Paris doing the Niner pregame. Could maybe Bubba come out of
how about you, Larry? You want to do it? You want to make us an extra pass?
I have 36 and a half inch arms, so maybe that would be good.
That's true. Length of, is it okay? So we talked about the draft. The offseason in general, big picture, grade it for the 49ers.
I think it's kind of like a B-. It's like they covered all their spots, but are they better? Are they better on the D-line than they were on Super Bowl Sunday? They lost Armstead, but they brought in Elliott. They brought in Collins. They brought in, Leonard Floyd. They brought in Yetur Gross-Matos. They got rid of Chase, play half speed in the NFC Championship game young. They got rid of Armstead. They moved on from Randy Gregory. I would say I'd probably give it a slight upgrade. Just because Armstead's not healthy, was making a ton. These guys are younger, and I like Floyd.
He was good in the Super Bowl,
He was good in the Super Bowl. I mean,
he was.
When Armstead's healthy and rolling, he's good. But I think
you know who else is good in the Super Bowl? Chase Young.
Chase Young, yeah, finally.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
He dug deep.
He was after, we called him out basically for dogging it. And nobody was going to call him out if it's the last
game of the season. I guess I'll try.
Well, I don't know if you saw the mic'd up thing. But like right before snap, You got George Kittle going. Kittle. There's no practice next week. There's no games next week. I need you to bring it on every play. I mean, when players on your team are begging you at the anthem to play hard on every play in the fucking Super Bowl, that might be a problem.
It's a problem. To his credit, though, he did it. He did it.
But so, I mean,
I don't know. I would say the Deion's better. It might be.
I would say it's better because I think Floyd is way better than those guys.
I like Floyd.
And then I kind of like Jordan Elliott. Now, we'll see in camp what he looks like, but I kind of like Jordan Elliott. So he's young and he's healthy. Some people say Malik Collins is better than Elliott. We're going to find out. But overall, I would say there's
the pass rush should be better.
Slight improvement there. Slight improvement.
The pass rush should be better because I think it's going to be more exotic too. It won't just be the same four guys doing the same four rush lanes every time. I think there's going to be simulated pressure, dropping Leonard Floyd, bringing DBs, the kind of stuff that Baltimore does. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, the other big question is Sorensen and Staley an upgrade, a lateral move, or a downgrade from Steve Wilks? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. I think they're going to try to be a little bit more ambitious in what they do in terms of pressures. And I think they're going to try to disguise their coverages, two things that couldn't hurt. So I'm going to say better.
Are they better in the secondary? I mean, they added Yadam and who's the other?
Fungus
DB?
Coming back.
Fungus coming back. Who's the other? I'm missing somebody there.
Rakusin,
who I'm not sure, you know, I was talking to Mayoko about that. He's not even sure if he's healthy.
Right. He hasn't been healthy in a couple of years. His knee's messed up. Javarius Ward's a year older and he's coming off surgery. Deion Lenoir could be better, but Javarius Ward's going to be a year older. Jair Brown's improving. I like him and Lenoir.
Maybe. I mean, I like him now with Renardo Green and Malachi Mustafa. But yeah. As far as the, you know, going into it, I thought they needed some alphas. I think they got help. They're going to miss Greenlaw. I don't know how much time he's going to miss. But I would say B minus in that they definitely filled some holes. They moved off of Darnold for Dobbs. I don't know about, some of the guys they added offensively, but like Patrick Taylor, is he anything? They look remarkably thin at tight end still.
Yeah.
I thought that was the line of the weekend where like somebody, I forget who asked it, but somebody's like, Cam Latu going to be your number two tight end? And Shanahan could have just been like, the way the question was asked, he could have just been like, well, yeah, they're all there. Instead, he's like, no, he's not. In fact, you gotta practice before you climb the depth chart kind of a thing. And it's like, message to Cam Latu, you may want to get a place in Milpitas and show up at the facility every now and then.
I think our assessment of the offseason is the same, but our grades are different. Maybe I'm harsher. I would give it a C because I feel like they didn't necessarily get, again, they didn't necessarily get better. And I don't know if they even tried to, because Kyle Shanahan says, like, we didn't get worse. You don't want to get worse. I don't think we got worse. I think they were trying to just kind of stay the same. I like the Leonard Floyd addition, but when your best addition, your most impactful short-term addition is 32-year-old Leonard Floyd, who's on his third team in 3 years and might play 60% of the snaps, like that's a problem when other teams are making bigger strides. Because if all you're aspiring to do is to not get worse, then you kind of are backsliding because other teams are getting better.
Right. Like Detroit. I mean, the first question you asked, are they still the best team in the NFC? The odds say it's Detroit. Now, mm-hmm. Detroit added DJ Reader. Detroit mm-hmm. added Terrion Arnold. Detroit mm-hmm. added Sione Vaki and a couple other young mm-hmm. guys in their secondary. Detroit's going through their weaknesses and trying to make them strengths, mm-hmm. where the Niners feel like they've got the team and they just don't want to fall behind. And they made a lot of lateral moves. But I'll say this. They went for some younger guys in free agency that are a bit of a projection. I don't know what Yadam's going to give them. I don't know what Jordan Elliott's going to give them or Collins.
Gross Matos.
I would have been a little bit more enthusiastic about their offseason if they had added one more defensive end to make sure that Floyd could be there fresh on third downs. Now the way it's set up is somebody like Drake or somebody who hasn't played well is going to have to play well so that they can play Floyd in a pass rushing situation. And that concerns me. I could see him getting overplayed and not being as effective because he's overplayed. And I thought every team in the division, by the way, every team in the division had a monster draft. The Rams had a monster draft. They got Blake Corum. Arizona had a monster draft. And Seattle, I thought, did some really good things. So the division's getting better. Detroit's getting better. Mm-hmm. Green Bay is getting better. I would say the Niners are right now neck and neck with Detroit. I think Detroit and the Niners are neck and neck. And I think the Niners obviously were a little bit better at the end of the year. So.
I got another team that's gaining on them.
Who do you got?
You didn't mention. I think a lot of Niner fans. No, they look good too. But another team, and this is a team Eagles. That, yes.
Cooper DeJean.
I know they collapsed last year, but hold on. Let's look at them again. They got rid of both coordinators. They brought in Vic Fangio, Kellen Moore, Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff, Devin White.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, yes. Devin White. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. Like, they're way better than last year.
Yeah.
And they were very good for 2 months last year until they fell apart. So, interesting team.
Interesting, but they do lose Kelce, and their O-line is getting old. But no, I totally agree with you. I mean, could it get any better? You're struggling in the secondary, and you get Quinion Mitchell. You don't have to trade up. He's far and away the best corner in the draft. Then you get Cooper DeJean, who's one of the biggest big play guys in the draft. You immediately are better. Then they got like Jeremiah Trotter's kid in day two, and he was one of the best linebackers in the entire draft. And they got other guys as well. So. Yeah, and I love what they did getting Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back. And then Devin White. I'm a Devin White fan. Now, a lot of people don't like Devin White, but I think Devin White helps him as a delayed blitzer and nothing else. So, yeah, I mean, Philly's right there, if not better.
That's what I'm saying. I think what's kind of scary about what the Niners did this offseason, people say I'm negative. I acknowledge that they're one of the best teams in the league, but if you're just going to stand pat, you better hope someone like Detroit and Philly don't make major strides. And I think both of them made major strides. And I wonder if the Niners are a half step behind both of them now. Like, I'm not a big fan of Jared Goff or Jalen Hurts. The Niners clearly have the best quarterback of those three. And that's great. But, man, they could have used someone more impactful than Leonard Floyd.
Yeah. The Niners' weaknesses. I mean, John Lynch talked to us on Monday. It was his comments. Hey, we want to get better on the line of scrimmage. And then he totally ignored the line of scrimmage. So what was that? Was he lying to us? Was he misdirecting us? Was he just, you know, I'll say A, but I'm really going B. Or did they just, every time they were on the clock, they just chose to go in a different direction. But to me, if you look at their draft and their offseason, say, how are they dramatically different? To me, I think they're deeper in the secondary with the two guys they got today or this weekend. I think they're a little bit more dynamic off the edge with Floyd. And I actually think Cowing is going to make an impact because he's just so damn good. I mean, he is small and fast, but tough. And I think he'll make a big impact. But other than that, it's going to be their exact same team. I think Tank Dell was a great player at Houston and, but this guy was incredible. I mean, just to give you an idea, the last two games, here it is.
Like Tank Dell had a nice rookie season. He went for like 700 yards, 11 games.
The last two games, though, for Cowing against, this was Arizona against in the Territorial Cup against ASU. He had 9 catches for 157 yards and a touchdown. And then in the bowl game against Oklahoma, 7 catches for 152 and 2 touchdowns. The guy had 16 catches for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in his last two college games.
So they want big game receivers as opposed to Debo and Ayuk. Sorry. I had to do it. Sorry.
Speed.
Sorry.
The Niners have been a slow freaking team. And the only thing I'm hoping for in this, from this draft is the addition of Cowing gives them a guy that if they play him, you know, Danny Gray never stretched the field because Danny Gray doesn't get on the field. You can't stretch the field from the bench. So
he's stretching it all the way to the bench. It's incredible.
I mean, Danny told me in the locker room last year, he's like, man, you got to wait to see my touchdown dance. We're still waiting. You know, who would know? You might have a touchdown. You could have a touchdown song that you sing, but we never heard it because you don't score, because you don't play. But if they get Cowing out there, to me, that where are they noticeably better? I think Floyd gives them more talent off the edge, more speed off the edge, and Cowing gives them more space and maybe some big playability. Other than that, it is literally the exact same team almost.
I want to see what Guerrero can do as a kick returner in this new funky kickoff role. I think he might be the guy. So I don't know if he's good at it. I want to see what that looks like, and I want to see what Pearsall. I can't say his name. Pearsall. I want to see what Pearsall looks like as a punt returner, because I don't think we're going to see him catch many passes this year unless Debo gets hurt, which he does.
I mean, the Guerrero pick, I think, is the most interesting in a lot of ways, because they wanted Guerrero. Obviously, they wanted him for a long time because Tony Pauline, about a month before the draft, was like, they want Guerrero and they want him in the third round. They got him in the fourth. He then took that down. So obviously somebody with the Niners was like, take that down, probably. But Guerrero's interesting because he doesn't play to that 40 time. He's big and fast, but he doesn't play to that 40 time. He's not this instinctive, awesome running back. He never was the best running back on his team. What makes him intriguing to me, though, Grant, is if he could bulk up even 5-10 pounds, or maybe not even bulk up, just show up and play him at fullback. And if you could throw him the ball in the flat when you have all these other weapons and you've got a 4-3 guy who's getting single coverage in the flat, and he makes one guy miss and he's got 4-3 speed, that could be intriguing. But I don't know if they're what their plan is with Guerrero.
I feel like every year there's a player that Kyle Shanahan personally drafts who makes absolutely no sense and doesn't make the team. And they figured out pretty quickly. I think last year was Latu. I'm worried it's this guy, that they're going to get him into camp and be like, ooh, yeah, he's not an NFL player at all.
Guerrero.
I mean, like you said, he was never the best running back on his college team ever. He's going to be better than Jordan Mason. I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, he did run, you know, outside zone for Jeff Brohm at Louisville. So he has some experience running outside zone. So that's good. Sure. As I said, he's kind of a, you know, it's like, you know, Vernon Davis ran a 4.38, but he didn't play to that 4.38. He hardly ever ran away from anybody. He was more of a dominant inline run blocker who made some, you know, catches across the middle. He wasn't this like seam stretching guy, you know.
You couldn't line him up outside and say, beat a corner.
Right. So this guy's got 5 years in college and he only has 300 yard games. He is smart. He's a four-time academic all Big Ten guy, and he did run 4.33. But I don't know. Yeah. You know, we'll see. We'll see about that. He's had hamstring problems. He's had a Liz Frank injury.
And they traded up for him. That's the kiss of death.
Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing is, I wonder if they had a scout at that bowl game against SC, because that was his greatest game. The guy had 161 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Trojans in the whatever bowl he was in.
The whatever bowl?
Yeah, the whatever bowl.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that's my favorite bowl. That's what they all are to me.
This guy's never been the bell cow. He's recorded 17 offensive touches only one time in 41 career starts. He's a career.
I don't get Kyle sometimes. You traded up for this guy. Why? Yeah. You have Christian McCaffrey on your team. You know you're not giving this guy the ball. He's going to be your kicker turner, maybe. You had to have him.
I mean, only thing I can think is if this guy could replace Juice, then you get for a cheap amount of money. I mean, this guy's smart and he's fast. He's athletic. He's only had 2 career fumbles. So in that way, he's kind of like Elijah Mitchell, right? He doesn't fumble it ever. And Shanahan said he's like Elijah. And maybe they're looking to move on from Elijah. But Elijah has got pick and slide. Elijah's got ability and instincts between the tackles. This guy doesn't have. This guy's like a trap runner where you just hand him the ball. You say, run between the guard and the tackle, and he just takes it up in there. And if he gets past the first level, he could be gone. But if you could make him a fullback, man, that would be intriguing. A fullback with 4.3 speed, that could add a dynamic to their offense they don't have.
He's got practice squad written all over him. I'm sorry. I'm curious. I'd be surprised if he makes the team. Charlie Sinclair says Harbaugh comes back, gets Herbert's best offensive lineman. It's true. They got a nice offensive line down with the Chargers. Charlie Sinclair says Ladd is better than Pearsall. Harbaugh guy. Who'd you like better, McConkey or Pearsall?
McConkey ran faster, Pearsall is a little bit bigger, than McConkie. I like McConkie better, to be honest. I like McConkie better, but I like Xavier Leggett a whole lot better. There was a run on wide receivers there at the top of round two that, you know, basically Pearsall is going to be compared to all those guys that went in the next 10 picks.
Yeah.
So he better be good.
He better be good. Fish and chips. YR8, you two, what? You two need to make Kyle Shanahan accountable. No tie sucking. I don't understand what that means. Fish and chips. Thanks, man. Costco Hot Dogs, which is actually underrated, says, these draft picks signaled to me that they finally figured out that Kyle can't develop players, so they just drafted older, already developed players. Well, Kyle made the picks. That Adam Peters is gone. I thought the Commanders had a good draft.
Yeah, they did.
By the way. Matt McEwen says, Matos is replacing what we lost with a Menihue. They've sort of mentioned that they see him in a similar way. Lions versus Ravens, Super Bowl 34-27 Lions.
What about all the people that thought the Lions coaching staff was wearing the tight end, the backup tight end who jersey instead? They were wearing Dan Campbell's jersey.
Oh,
the people were like, oh, they're wearing the tight end that the Niners signed and he met. And, you know, yeah, right. Yeah. They're,
Nee
they're
says backing. Debo post June dead cap is significantly less. Is there a player swap you would entertain that fits a need? Knees, stop ruining the show. We're going to talk about that. It was supposed to be a surprise and you ruined it. We're going to talk about that, I promise. And it's going to be dedicated to you, but we definitely need to talk about that topic at length. Charlie Sinclair, how do you think Brendan Rice will do?
Well, because I, you know, he's polished, he's ready to roll, and he's on a team that needs receivers who are ready to roll. I mean, the Chargers got rid of all their receivers and they took a couple receivers, but, you know, I know people don't love Brendan Rice because he doesn't have the great stopwatch speed, but man, he'll work back to the quarterback. He's got good size. He's got good hands. He plays with urgency. I think he's going to do well with the Chargers.
Dazza says, I don't know why the Niners didn't trade up more to get higher ranked prospects, unless they're admitting the last 2 years drafts have been awful. Well, they traded up in rounds 3 and 4. I was surprised they didn't trade up in rounds 1 and 2 like the Chiefs did.
Trading up, though, I mean, to me, that's not the way to go, because the reality is people will say, well, you know, they've got 10 picks, but they don't have 10 needs. It's a sport where you get five guys can get injured in one practice. So I've never really subscribed to the theory or that, you know, you need fewer picks. If anything, I mean, we saw Green Bay win a Super Bowl 1 year where they had like 22 guys on season-ending IR. To me, depth rules the day. If you can trade up for a serious difference maker, do it. But trading up, I mean, the Niners' history of trading up is atrocious. They traded up for Joe Williams. They traded up for Dante Pettis.
It's true.
They traded up for Jalen Hurd. They traded up, you know, they traded up for C.J. Beathard, for crying out loud.
I just like what the Chiefs were trying to do. It's like, we don't have many needs. We're right at the top. Let's get a couple of guys we really like. And we could be wrong, but if we're not, we just took our team to the next level. Like, if Xavier Worthy is legit, that team is going to be...
Nothing else. I mean, Xavier Worthy doesn't even have to catch the ball. All he's got to do is show up and not be hurt. If he shows up and he's not hurt, he runs off the coverage, and now you're underneath the Pacheco and Kelsey all day with all kinds of room. So, yeah, I mean, Worthy was a perfect fit.
I mean, we were just talking about, are the Niners still the best team in the NFC? Their assignment is to overtake the Chiefs. The Chiefs beat them in the Super Bowl with Rashee Rice in the slot, Justin Watson and Marquez Valdes-Scantling outside. Now they got Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy outside. That's a tougher offense.
I mean, the Chiefs beat the Niners in their transition year.
Yep.
And that's what's so depressing. Mm-hmm. And to me, the 49ers blew it with that special teams turnover with the ball off Luter that Ray tried to advance. I mean, that burned them bad. And then, of course, not knowing the rules in overtime didn't help. You know, also I kind of think that, you know, Shanahan needs to change his game planning mindset on 3rd and 4. You know, they had 2 3rd and 4s and, you know, they came up with pass plays that didn't work. The Eagles that Grant run it on 3rd and 4 to run it again on 4th and 1. And it seems like the Niners should start thinking a little bit more on along those lines. instead of trying to pass it on third and four. I think third and four for teams like Philly, that's a rundown. And the Niners just don't think like that.
I think what was so bad about their final play call of the season, that third and four from the nine, it was play action. It was empty backfield. Christian McCaffrey in jet sweep motion, play action with Jake Brendel pulling. Like, what? You either run or you pass on third and four. You do not do that. And that's what they did. It was like maybe the worst play call of the season that they had.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, play action off the empty. They were good in the empty set, but then the play action, nobody's going to honor that.
No.
So, and they did.
What are you calling?
You know, so once again, this is 2 years in a row, or I guess, yeah, 2 years in a row that they've kind of gotten burned by teams where they're running play action on key downs and the defense is not honoring the play action at all.
Good call. I agree. Matt McEwen says maybe someday Kyle will be as good as George Seifert. Coached the team for 8 years and got fired. Let's see if Kyle gets to the Super Bowl. All right, let's make some sleeper picks. It's sleeper time. We got a game tonight, Boston and Miami. It's in like an hour. So let's get some action, some juice.
What's the spread?
I don't know. We're just making picks. We're just making sleeper picks. Jason Tatum.
Money line picks. I'll take Boston.
Jason Tatum, 25 and a half points, more or less.
I'll go less.
Not a Tatum guy?
No, I like Tatum. I just think that, you know, he in crunch time, a lot of times it seems like everybody else besides him steps up.
Okay. How about, can we do Jimmy Butler? Is he not playing?
Oh, Jimmy, I'm sure he is.
I don't see him. Okay. How about Bam Adebayo? No. Jaime Jaquez, UCLA. UCLA, 14 and a half points.
I'll go over.
He's so good.
Jaime Jaquez, yeah.
I'm a big fan. Been watching him for years. Okay, one more. Jrue Holiday?
What's the number?
9.5 points.
He doesn't score a lot. Okay. I'd probably still go over that.
Okay. More? Anyone else you like?
It's hard to see in those small.
Porzingis, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, what's Jaylen Brown at?
21.5 points, 6.5 rebounds.
Yeah, I could see him going over, actually. I think he's a big game player.
Big game player. Okay, let's get one more from the Oklahoma City game just for fun. How about Shai Gilgeous, 27.5?
I like that over. He's a tremendous player.
He's such a good player. Awesome. Clippers should have kept him.
All right,
let's lock it in. Use that promo code CONE, COHN, deposit match up to $500. Okay, someone asked it earlier. What's going on with Deebo Samuel? There was reports that the Niners were including him in trade discussions. It seemed like they were exploring the idea of maybe trading him. Nothing happened. Do you think they're going to keep him this year? Or after June 1, they could trade him and free up $22 million in cap space? A little late to do much with the cap space, but they could do it. What do you think? What's next for Deebo Samuel?
I think, you know, you'd be naive if you looked at their draft and not think for a second that, hey, you know what? They may move him. I mean, they have a lot of receivers now. And Pearsall is going to make the team. Cowing's going to make the team. And then if you had Deebo and Uke and Jennings, that's five. They only kept five, right? So that means everybody else, Conley, Ronnie Bell, Danny Gray, anybody else they have, basically there's no roster spots for. So I wasn't thinking that it would make sense. If you asked me 3 weeks ago, would they move Deebo after June 1st? No, because they're going for it. They're inside their window and they're still going for it inside their window. But now you got to wonder with the way they fortified the wide receiver room, if they could get a player, would they do it if it was the right player? I don't know. I mean, I think it's on the table. I think it's viable that they could move him and save that cap hit, by moving him after June 1st or have that cap savings. It doesn't make sense from the standpoint of they're trying to win a Super Bowl, but look how stacked their receiver room is now. And it's not like you have a lot of latitude here. What are you, you're going to keep seven receivers and go short on your O-line, D-line or something like that? I mean, I don't, that's problematic. So I don't know. I think the draft enables them to move a receiver, and Debo's the guy who's probably going to get moved unless it's Jennings.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that the Niners wanted to trade Debo and decided that they would, it would make more sense to trade him for a player than to trade him for a draft pick, because there's so much pressure on them to win a Super Bowl this year. And if they trade him for a draft pick, they can't tell people they got better in the short term. So maybe they say, we'll trade him for a player and we'll do it after June 1st to save cap space so we can take on the player's contract. That could make sense. Because if you look at what they did in the draft, I just don't, I can't understand drafting Ricky Pearsall in round one if you don't trade a wide receiver. You're redshirting your first round pick essentially again. Why? When you had other needs on the board. So they took Pearsall, they took another wide receiver and traded up for a running back with speed. It seemed like they were getting like a smorgasbord, a poo-poo platter, if you will, of players who together might be able to replace what Debo Samuel gives you.
Well, it's funny, you know, we're talking about Debo, but in reality, they drafted two receivers that both played Jennings' spot. So what's Jennings' status?
I mean, he hasn't signed his restricted free agent tender yet. Why?
Because, I mean, that's what Pearsall is. He's a slot guy. That's what the Arizona receiver is. He's a slot guy. So, I mean, you added two slot receivers. And Jennings hasn't signed his deal. I wonder if Pearsall
can't play on the outside. That's a terrible pick.
No, I don't. I think he potentially could play on the outside, but I mean, as far as right away, I think Cowing and Pearsall are slot guys.
Yeah,
and Pearsall's a little bit bigger. Cowing is a lot faster. You know, I think those are slot receivers. Now,
if they were to trade Debo for a player at another position, a corner, a defensive tackle, a starter somewhere else, an offensive tackle, they could say that they're in position. They've positioned themselves to be able to replace him in the offense.
It's hard to even project that because there's so few trades in the NFL. I can't even think
right
outside of Sertan. Yeah. Would you trade Debo and a pick for Sertan in next year's draft? I would.
Yeah,
I would. For sure. Absolutely would.
Yeah. That would be great. Maybe
especially with the way the makeup of the roster right now.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, speaking of wide receivers who are disgruntled, Brandon Ayuk hasn't got the extension, didn't get traded. Doesn't seem like he's going to be playing for the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, his twin, or so he said. What do you think is next for Brandon Ayuk?
It's got to be a deal. If their plan is to, you know what, we'll make him play on the fifth-year option. I hate that plan. So you're going to have some guy, some super team leader, vital cog on your team, stewing in the corner of the locker room because you didn't break him off and you making him play out the deal all the way. I think you got to get him signed, and you got to get him signed, you know, sometime well before the start of camp. I mean, that's the other thing. You can't do what you did the last 2 years. Didn't work with Bosa, didn't work with Debo. You can't wait to the last second. It's one thing for Bosa, who's a pass rusher in a wide nine, get up the field, very simple scheme. It's a totally different deal for your receiver, who wants, you know, has to be in lockstep with the quarterback. Offensive football is all about, you know, cohesion. You don't want an offensive player sitting out all of camp and signing 5 days before the opener. So I hope their plan is to get it done, well before the deadline.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of making him sit for the year and delaying it, because I think that's like one of those things where, you know, you tell them, you know, no, that's not how it works. And there's always a lot of, you know, you don't want to risk disharmony in your locker room with one of your best players. Not worth it.
It seems to me, and I have no sources on the subject, but it seems to me like the 49ers sort of came to the conclusion that it would be irresponsible to spend big money on two wide receivers, which is true. I don't think not many teams do it. They're very expensive, and you don't throw the ball enough to justify it. So I think they flirted with the idea of trading Ayuk, but came to the conclusion that trading Debo would make more sense because Ayuk's better and younger and still ascending, and Debo isn't. So if they want to keep Ayuk and trade Debo, that would make sense. Makes sense to me.
If they have to trade him this weekend, now
they didn't do it.
I know, but does it make sense now to move Debo? Just the only way it makes sense is if you're getting back, you know, a difference making player at a position that you have a greater need. Somebody's starting tackle. You know, I mean, I can't even picture who would be interested. Jacksonville got Brian Thomas, right? So they're Brian Thomas Jr. So they're not, they've taken care of their receiver need. I guess,
I mean, maybe Buffalo needs a receiver. I don't understand what Buffalo did this offseason. I just don't get it.
They got Keon Coleman. I don't know if that's good enough receiver. But I mean, like, what are these teams offering? You know, are you going to offer a player? I mean, Surtain would make a lot of sense. Heck, they could definitely use a number one corner. They could definitely use another D lineman, an offensive tackle. You know, trade them to Jacksonville for what, Walker Little and their third round pick next year or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, to me, that's also, I got to think that they want to keep Debo and just load up this year and just try to, you know, have all their playmakers. But it doesn't seem the way they drafted receivers here makes you think that he could be gone.
I just don't think he's a great fit for the Niners. He's a home run receiver. He should play with someone like Josh Allen. You can't really, he doesn't need to be running square ends all the time like he does here. But if that's another reason, like, I don't like drafting wide receivers in round one. You get in these situations where it's like, oh, he went to a Pro Bowl. Should we give him $30 million a year? Yeah, it's what the market says they're worth. Sorry. So I kind of like what Pittsburgh does. Draft him in round two and round three and catch and release. One contract each. No extensions. They're too expensive. Spend your money elsewhere.
Plus, it's a, you know, Belichick said it the other day with McAfee. He said quarterbacks and wide receivers in round one are like a 50-50 proposition. So it's like it's 50-50 whether the guy's going to be good or not. And then you're right. After that, do you want to give him a second contract?
Yeah, that's so expensive. And you have to pay top dollar if they're remotely good. You pay them like they're Hall of Famers. I don't like it. I'd rather take those. And quarterbacks are hard to find, but wide receivers, there's always good ones in round two, round three. They got Cowan in round four.
Yeah. Especially now that, you know, you've got teams throughout college football and every conference running the spread.
Yep.
So you've got more and more receivers. I mean, this has now been what, three drafts, maybe four drafts in a row where you could say one of the themes was, man, it's loaded at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's loaded at wide receiver almost every year.
What's interesting too is like the first, 14 picks were offense.
Right.
That's the future of the league. Like what's going to happen is these teams, quarterback, wide receiver, and offensive tackle, those positions are going to get so expensive that you're not going to be able to give extensions to players at other positions. So you'll have a bunch of defensive players on rookie deals, wide running backs on rookie deals, and there's going to be a quarterback making $100 million a year in like 5 years. Watch.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. I can't wait. So you'll have two different teams. You'll have like the little core of guys who are billionaires, like the five billionaires on your team, and a bunch of guys who are fresh out of college trying to help out. That'll be the NFL. Can't wait.
The key in the NFL is you can't pay good players great money. If you pay good players great money, you're essentially beating yourself.
And that's the question the Niners have to ask with Ayuk.
That is a big one.
Yeah.
Or is he a great player that's just been underutilized? You know,
yeah, that's what I think he is. But if he's underutilized, is he really a great player on your team? Can he produce great results on your team? I don't know.
I'd love to know how Shanahan feels about his wide receiver core, just period. Because we know Shanahan loves Debo. Yeah. So what's, you know, how does he view Debo this year? Would he move Debo in the springtime for a player or, God forbid, picks that he can't, you know, win with this year? I don't know. That seems like a loss to me.
I think he thinks Debo at his peak was maybe the best Z receiver he ever coached. But when it comes to X receivers, I think he has really high standards. And Ayuk's really good, but he's not Julio Jones. He's not Andre Johnson. and Kyle coached both of those guys. So I could see Kyle being a little hesitant to pay Ayuk all this money, considering he's not truly, truly off the charts in any way like those two were.
Well, I'll say this. There was a lot of concern that they would, there were some people very concerned they would move Ayuk, other people concerned that they wouldn't. I just think that, and I said it before the draft, if they moved Ayuk and did not get back a great player, they would take a dramatic step back. So in some ways, the fact that they did not move Ayuk is a positive for, you know, where they sit in the NFC or where they sit in the suit in the Super Bowl pecking order. Because if they had done the Buckner Kinlaw deal again, they would no longer be Super Bowl contenders. So in a way, I'm kind of glad they didn't move Ayuk, because I mean, what if they had moved Ayuk for a pick and used it on a player that was underwhelming? Now you've lost,
you're in trouble, a
difference making guy in the perimeter, and you're not the same team. So,
all right, let's switch gears. I got one final question for you, and then we're out of here. Who's your favorite undrafted free agent that the Niners got this year?
There's three that I love. Mason Plyne, the tight end, I think is really, really underrated. Really underrated. I love the kid, Schrader, the running back from Missouri, a lot. I mean, I think that was a steal. But I'm going to go Tanner Mordecai. I mean, I did the deep dive on Tanner Mordecai, and it's crazy. But I think the 49ers hit on Tanner Mordecai. I really do. I mean, he's smart. He has 4.45 speed. The guy has one scouting report I read described him as having a cannon. I don't know if he's got a cannon, but he definitely has a good enough arm. He's really fast. He's a leader. He's tough. He played 3 weeks after he broke his throwing hand. He played against LSU in the bowl game, threw for 378 yards and 3 touchdowns. I like him. He's accurate. He plays with confidence. I think Tanner Mordecai, Grant, is going to beat out Brandon Allen. And I think there's a very good chance that Tanner Mordecai is their second best quarterback, even including Dobbs. Dobbs was totally garbage late in the year against the Bears. If we're pretending Dobbs is good, then we're just simply pretending. He was terrible, terrible on Monday Night Football. Tons of picks, all kinds of terrible decisions. He's smart. He's athletic. Everybody loves him. But I think Tanner Mordecai is going to be Brock Purdy's number one backup.
He's got a very Brock Purdy-esque resume. And he did get Danny Gray drafted in round 3.
His story's pretty damn good, actually, if you look at his story. I mean, he started at Oklahoma, played 3 years there, sat behind Kyler, lost the job to Jalen Hurts, shared the job with Spencer Rattler, transfers to SMU. First start for SMU, 7 touchdowns against Abilene Christian. Later that year, he threw for 9 touchdowns in a game against Houston. Now, granted, it's a no-defense kind of league. Transfers to Madison and played well. I mean, broke his hand against Iowa. 3 weeks later, he's in there in the bowl game. Didn't get invited to the combine, but, I mean, there's a lot to like here. This guy's roughly 6'2", about 215 pounds. I saw the interviews he did. He's a leader. He's smart. He's athletic. I mean, you're 4.46 40 at his pro day. And then when you turn on the film, you see it. I mean, he drops back to pass and then he moves explosively. He runs for some first downs. I like him. And he ball comes out quick. He knows what he's doing with it. He's mature. He's smart. To whoever, I'd love to know. I wish I was there this weekend. I should have gone down there Saturday just to ask Lynch. Who was it that scouted Brock exactly? And who was it that scouted this kid Mordecai? Because I think he's good. I think he's going to be able to play.
I like the center they got from Michigan, Drake Nugent. Went to Stanford, transferred to Michigan.
Yeah.
Won a national title. He's smart. He's fast. He's a good athlete. A little short, but
he got abused by Michael Hall in the Buckeyes Michigan game. Michael Hall just whipped by him. But Nugent, I mean, good, solid player at Stanford, smart guy. He could definitely give Brendel a run for his money.
Look what they developed Brendel into over time. I mean, he was an undrafted center from UCLA, and they turned him into a starter. I know they like to develop centers, and they try to take players from other positions and get them to learn the position, but I'm not really into that, taking guards and try to make them centers. Like, can they snap the ball consistently in a real game? Are you sure? Because if they can't, you lose. You know that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm interested in like developing centers who are actually centers. And here's a center who's actually a center. He's played on some high level teams. So see what he can do over some time.
I kind of wonder, is Nick Sakell going to be in this mix? Because he is Purdy's buddy, best friend, roommate.
Are they still married? Are they still roommates? Because Purdy's married now. They may not need Sakell anymore.
Maybe Zakel's got a Cato Kalin pad going in the back.
Oh, wow. That's a deep reference. He might.
Did I ever tell you I played golf with Cato Kalin?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I played golf with Cato Kalin. This was about five years ago, 6 years ago.
So did you hit him with the what did you know and when did you know it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, we had beers and we're talking OJ. It was, he's a character, man. He's a character.
Wow. Yeah.
It was so anyway, in San Ramon. It was some golf tournament in San Ramon. Celebrity golf tournament. I looked up. I'm walking to the first tee. I'm like, who is that guy? Why do I recognize that guy? I'm like, hey, how you doing, man? Larry Kruger. He's like, Cato Kalin. I'm like, awesome. Well, now we got 6 hours to talk about, you know, the bloody knife.
I met Kenan Thompson a couple of years ago. He's been on Saturday Night Live for 20 years. He was on All That when I was a kid. I went and saw Dave Chappelle live at the Punchline in San Francisco, which is a lot of fun. And it's a really small club. Kenan Thompson went just to watch. And we got out around midnight, and we were walking back to our car at the same time. And we both got locked out of the same parking garage. And I played it cool. I was like, hey, man, I've been watching you my whole life. Anyway, Kenan Thompson.
There you go. He's funny.
He is very funny.
I went to Tommy, what's it called in Pleasanton? The Tommy T's, maybe? Tommy T's. And mm-hmm. Jay Farrow came on the radio to promote that he was at Tommy T's. And my wife and I got invited backstage for the Jay Farrow thing.
That's cool.
We were hanging in the green room with Jay Farrow. And he's a great, I don't know if you watch him on SNL, but he was great.
Rafi Matosian says, would you trade Ward and Debo for Surtain?
Would I trade
Ward and Debo? No, but maybe Debo.
A Mooney Ward for Surtain?
Yeah.
I would do that. I would do that. Both? You know, just because Mooney's only got 1 year left, you can't pay everybody. Yeah, I would do that. I think Mooney's good. I think Surtain's great.
Tinker says, I mean, we got Owens Jr. Hello, just staying.
Well, we saw him. You were there for the local pro day. I'll say this about Owens' kid. He's fat. He's big and strong and athletic. He's raw as hell, and there's no chance he makes the team. He's going to be a practice squad guy. But if you told me that he developed into something, I wouldn't be shocked by that, man. The kid's got unbelievable, you know, natural gifts, and he's super late to football. So his improvement curve could be huge.
Daza says two main weaknesses last year was run defense and O-line. Other NFC teams address their weaknesses. How have the Niners improved those two issues this offseason?
I mean, they just got a guard. They just gave that Evan Anderson kid from FAU huge money to sign. And to me, he looks really slow, but
yeah,
you know, yeah. And they now don't have Greenlaw. I mean, how's their run D better when they lost Greenlaw? But I mean, I'll say this, Malik Mustafa is a thumper. He definitely will help. And Renardo Green is the kind of guy that will step up and make plays against the run. And so is Yadam. So hopefully they're a little bit better on the back end tackling wise. Cause I mean, they their safeties just refused to tackle last year. Once Afonga went down, it was like, what are we talking about here? And if Jair Brown didn't play incredibly, the Niners would have never made it to the Super Bowl.
Alan Sales, $2, fish and chips. You two need to own Shanahan next season. Own him. That's every day. Tinker says, I guess for a third year, while my money lasts, I'm going all in again. Quest for six again. I guess for a third year, while my money lasts, I'm going all in again. Quest for six again. Okay. Sure.
The Niners are not the best team in the NFC. The Niners are among four or five teams that I would all put neck and neck. Like the Niners were the best team in the NFC last year. Now Philly's better. Now Detroit's better. Now Green Bay's better. Now the division's better. Yeah. I would say the Niners are on par with about four or five teams at the top of the NFC.
I would completely agree. Larry, thank you very much. Make sure everyone likes and subscribes to the to my channel, Larry's channel, the show. Niners content in general. Larry, it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. Have a good rest of your Monday.
Rookie minicamp is soon. Stay tuned. Off-season program coming up.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.